Hi, I'm Deborah McClellan, and I am a research scientist at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. And this talk is actually a little, the title of this talk and the contents of this talk are just a little bit different than what were in the program for a couple reasons. Number one, because this session ended up being on binge drinking, and number two, because of the limitations of time, I couldn't talk about all of the outcomes, but I'm happy to talk with anybody afterwards about some of the other findings. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And I would like to acknowledge my collaborators on this study, as well as my funder, the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. So the context, as the previous presenters have laid out so clearly, is that rates of binge drinking do vary by demographic group. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health said that overall binge drinking, about nearly a quarter of the U.S. population binge drinks. We know, we've heard that males have higher rates than females, younger people higher rates than older people. Generally, those who are wealthier binge drink more than lower income people, and there are differences as well by race, ethnicity. Oops. So what do we do about this? Well, the theory of consumer demand, the economic theory of consumer demand, predicts that raising prices on alcohol and tobacco products through taxation reduces respective use of these two products. And overall, research really supports this theory. You raise the prices on cigarettes, cigarette consumption goes down. You raise the price on alcohol, alcohol consumption goes down. So taxation to reduce use is a popular taxation strategy, both among policymakers as well as the public. But the economic theory of consumer demand also talks about cross-price effects, especially of goods that are related to each other, like alcohol and tobacco often are. And what we see is that what a cross-price effect is the effect of increasing the price of one good, such as cigarettes, on use of another good, such as alcohol. The literature is not as clear in this area. There really isn't consensus. Some studies find that if you increase price of cigarettes, alcohol consumption goes up. Others find that it goes down. So it's unclear what it does. It's also unclear whether these effects may be different by different demographic groups, which leads me to my research questions, which are changes in state cigarette prices associated with participation in binge drinking? And does this association vary by sex, age, poverty status, and race ethnicity? I used the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System surveys. I pulled 5 years of that survey. I used these years because the definition of binge drinking changed in 2006 for males and females, and I just wanted to have all the definition of binge drinking as five drinks or less to be the same for all observations. The BRFIS is a cross-sectional RDD household telephone survey of adults age 18 and older. It's the civilian non-institutionalized population, and this resulted in over 1 million independent observations. BRFIS is cross-sectional, not longitudinal. The analyses that I used were econometric linear probability models with state and near fixed effects, and I also used interaction terms that interacted the average state cigarette price with each demographic group. The data were weighted, and I used listwise deletion of missing data. My measures, my dependent variable was a dichotomous measure for participation in binge drinking, defined as I have just as I've already mentioned. The main explanatory variable was average state cigarette price. You can see the different demographic groups that I was specifically looking at. Just a little bit of information on this poverty status variable. The BRFIS income variable is a categorical variable. In order to create a poverty status variable, I use the DHHS guidelines, and the categories don't track equally. So you have people who are definitely poor, you have people who are definitely not poor, and then you have some people who are kind of an overlap. They could be poor, so I call those maybe poor. Perhaps a better name might have been near poor. And then you can see that because of the large sample size, I was able to really drill down into a lot of different racial ethnic groups. My interaction term was state cigarette price by demographic group, and then I used a number of covariates, policy covariates, as well as individual level covariates that have been shown to be related to both smoking and drinking. I also use state and year dummies as well as the Burfus weights. In terms of my analytic sample, you'll see that it's the Burfus overall tends to be a little bit of an older population and a little bit of a whiter population, even with weights than the U.S. Than the overall U.S. population, and this held. In terms of my, I did some bivariate analyses, and what you see here is very similar to what we've already been talking about. Males have much higher rates of binge drinking than female, or report much higher binge drinking rates. We know that those who are younger, including the underage 18 to 20-year-old group, have higher rates than those who are older. There's not a lot of difference here by poverty status. And in terms of racial and ethnic groups, American Indians and Alaskan Natives have the highest rates, which is also pretty typical in national data. Hispanics have higher reported rates in this data set. Non-Hispanic Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders, whites, multiracial and other, and then African Americans and Asians have lower prevalence rates of binge drinking. In terms of my multivariate findings here, basically what we can see here is that there is heterogeneity of response to a $1 increase in cigarette price across various demographic groups. So just to kind of walk you through what these results are, the p-values on male-female show you that there's really not much difference in response by sex. However, you do see dramatic difference in response in terms of age. And what this an interpretation of this is a $1 increase in the state cigarette price was associated with a 4.1 percentage point increase in binge drinking among those aged 21 to 29, and a 1.9 decrease in binge drinking among those 65 and older. Although the p-value is not at the 0.05 level for those 18 to 20, in a large policy study like this, you could think that this is kind of a borderline significant rate. Actually, the p-value is 0.056. I think the direction is that even for those 18 to 20, we may be seeing some increases in binge drinking in response to increases in cigarette price. In terms of poverty status, a $1 increase in cigarette price would be is associated with a 1.7 reduction in binge drinking among those who may be poor. And there was not a lot of difference in response by race, ethnicity, except for African Americans, where we see a $1 increase in the cigarette price is associated with a 2.4 percentage point reduction in binge drinking among African Americans. So a summary of the results here is that an increase in cigarette price was associated with a decrease in binge drinking among those who were 65 and older, for those who might be poor, and among non-Hispanic African Americans. but it was also associated with an increase in binge drinking among those aged 21 to 29 who we know already have the highest rates of smoking. Binge drinking did not vary by sex. There were some limitations in this study. First of all, there's some limitations in the data set, and I was actually kind of pleased to see the data that Jason presented that beer was the alcohol of choice for binge drinkers, because that's what I had kind of assumed, and I had included beer price as a control variable for alcohol in my equation. So I was kind of happy that he showed that as well. And actually, that supports other literature, which has also shown that. Longitudinal data would certainly have given a richer information on specific individuals over time. As was mentioned earlier, is that the report is self-report. We know that the people underreport the amount that they consume. So if anything, these findings are probably conservative. Another limitation is that the fixed effects models are wonderful models to use in these kind of state policy studies, because they adjust and control for all time invariant variables that are unmeasured in a state. However, if something like attitude towards smoking or attitudes towards drinking had been changing over time, that was not being accounted for in the study. In terms of policy implications here, the results of my study suggest that increases in cigarette price may impact drinking among certain populations, and it may impact them differently, which makes it hard to come up with like one policy that's going to impact everybody the same way. And I think it's upon us as researchers and advocates and policymakers to prepare for such unintended consequences of tobacco taxation policy. I think tobacco control advocates, researchers, and policymakers need to collaborate more with alcohol prevention advocates. And actually, I think the APHA is a good place to do that. I know the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drugs section, we've had some cross-collaboration in discussions and things like that, and I would really encourage more of that. Another thing that could be done is to also alert stakeholders, emergency rooms, law enforcement, potentially people who work in colleges and universities, that if states are going to increase their tobacco taxes, that there may be some increases in binge drinking, especially among the young adults population. And then finally, researchers could explore more collaborative policy and intervention research. Thank you.